I figured it was worthwhile to spend some time going through Hilchos Teshuvah. It's timely. Obviously, this is the time of the year when we focus on Teshuvah as much as we can, although the mitzvah of Teshuvah clearly is all year long. But this time of the year, as we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this is the time when traditionally we learn Hilchos Teshuvah, we focus on Hilchos Teshuvah, etc. The first point I'd like to make is the fact that there is something called Hilchos Teshuvah is somewhat striking. Like, one could argue that Teshuvah is just logical. There are aveiros that we did, and we have to rectify them, so, like, get rid of them. I stop doing it. That's presumably what tshuva is. So the fact that there's Hilchos Teshuvah and there are rules and regulations means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us that it's not enough to just stop doing the aveiros. You actually have to do certain things that we'll discuss, and that is called the mitzvah of tshuva. That's one way of saying it. To put it in other words, which is somewhat similar but also different, there is tshuva as a svara, and then there's tshuva, which is a mitzvah in the Torah to do tshuva. Logic says, I do a chet to get rid of it. I don't need Hilchos Teshuvah for that. But I need Hilchos Teshuvah because there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. And that mitzvah to do tshuva, then there are rules and regulations. So it could be that a person will do tshuva, but the person will not be mekayim the mitzvah of tshuva. And it could be that the two don't really connect, right? You could get your kapara, your slicha, you did tshuva, but you didn't do it according to the rules and the regulations that are set out. So therefore, you don't get the mitzvah essay in the Torah of tshuva. Now, this is already an important nekuda because when I open the Rambam, and a lot of what we're going to be saying, of course, comes from Rav Soloveitchik's classic Sefer Al HaTshuva. I remember one year Rebbe Rosenzweig spoke in Yeshiva before Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and he said, now it seems to him like there's an obligation that every guy in YU has to really learn Al HaTshuva. Like, this is, this is the basics. You gotta know this book. It also reads very quickly. So it's not like asking you to learn Maseches Menachos. It goes a little bit faster than that. But the Rambam in the Koteret tells us the introduction to Hilchos Teshuva. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah essay, Echa Sehu Sheyoshev HaChotei Mecheto Lofnei Hashem V'Yisvadeh. There's a mitzvah to do tshuva, and vidui is part of that. The Rambam in the first halacha also writes, Kishe Yaseh Tshuva V'Yoshev, that when you're doing tshuva, you have to do a vidui as well. And Rav Soloveitchik in the Al HaTshuva discusses whether the mitzvah is really tshuva, the mitzvah is just the vidui. The Minchas Chinuch famously says that there's no mitzvah to do tshuva, the mitzvah is only to say vidui. And the Minchas Chinuch is bothered by the kasha, well, the Gemara Kedushin Daf Mem Tes speaks about someone who's Mekadesh and Isha, Amnasa, the person's a tzaddik gomer. So the Gemara says that even if this person was a Rasha Kol Yamav, where Choshesh Doma Her Her Tshuva Belibo, maybe you thought about Tshuva. Whoa, the Minchas Chinuch says. So if you thought about Tshuva, Tshuva requires Vidui. Vidui has to be articulated. The Teretz might be that there's a difference between the mitzvah of Tshuva and just the inyan of kapara of tshuva, the fact that your sins get erased. Right? So the Gemara in Kedushin says, Dilma hear her tshuva b'libo. Hear her is enough. Because what that does is it erases the avera. That's what I would call tshuva of logic. But there's also the tshuva of command, the tshuva that's a mitzvah. And for the tshuva that's a mitzvah, I need vidui. Whether the vidui itself is the mitzvah, or the vidui is what Rav Soloveitchik said is the maisa ha-mitzvah of tshuva, right? There are many mitzvahs in the Torah that the maisa ha-mitzvah is the same as the kiyum ha-mitzvah. I pick up a lulav, right? It's the same thing. I pick it up, maisa mitzvah kiyum, it happens at the same time. There are other times that the maisa is separate from the kiyum. Tefillah, there's a maisa ha-mitzvah to recite the words, but the kiyum ha-mitzvah is ezeh lavod eshi b'lev. Rav Soloveitchik spoke about, and Rabbi Eli Konigsberg, in his introduction to the Rav Shiurim on Yerideya, he puts together very nicely all the cases where the Rav distinguished between the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But the point is that there's a mitzvah of tshuva, and there's a Maisa HaMitzvah called Vidui, and the Kiyum is tshuva. But that is tshuva if I want to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah of tshuva. But there's also tshuva just as a logical outgrowth. Like, you did a chait, you got to do tshuva. The Meshech Chochmah has this in Parshas Vayelech. Tshuva is logical. Not only is tshuva a command, so that is the first nikud I wanted to make. The Ram has Hilchos tshuva. The halachos in the Rambam are always based on mitzvahs. Right, that's why there's a koteret, which mitzvah is the basis for these halachas. It's in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs essay, Ayin Gimel. Again, there are nuances of difference, but I think the idea that we're trying to explain is the idea of tshuva as a mitzvah, not just tshuva as a logical outgrowth that you sinned, and therefore you have to rectify the sin. We're good?
When that word also came out, kind of figured out that it's like the idea of the more intuitive, natural form of tshuva before the mitzvah. It's just that you're tshuva, because I would think that the Ram Chavira doesn't make any sense to me. The heart has not to be here, right?
So by Ben Adam Lechaveros, it's interesting because you're saying in that case the logical tshuva doesn't. I shouldn't say like there is logical tshuva, but the logical tshuva can't be done on my own. I need two to tangle, right? So that, I think, is why being other machaveros are different. I won't talk about tshuvism, being other machavero. Maybe today we'll talk about it. But for the time being, I'm speaking about tshuva as a mitzvah versus tshuva as just logic. I'm also assuming that whatever is logic is not a mitzvah min ha-Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have to command me something that logic would be machayev. Whether this is correct or not is an issue for the philosophers. I think it's logical to use a word that we've been discussing. So that is the first yisod I wanted to talk about in tshuva. If we begin the Rambam in Perek Aleph, the Rambam writes, Kol mitzvah shebetorah, bein aseh ben lo saseh, im over adam ha'achas mehem, So we'll talk about this Rambam briefly. The Rambam says that all mitzvahs in the Torah, whether asay or los asay, when you violate one of the mitzvahs and you do tshuva, you have to do vidui. That's what the Rambam says. Now, there are a few points to note in this Rambam. The Rambam says all mitzvahs, asay lais asay. The Rambam goes on and he says, if you violate an avera, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, right? Im over adam achasim bein b'zadam bein b'shkaga, then you have to do tshuva. The Rambam only mentions zadon and shkaga, mezid and shogeg. There's another category in halacha called ones. Right? Mazid means I do it deliberately. Shogig means I could have been more careful and I do it inadvertently. Onus means like it just happened. You know? It's but onus. Like you couldn't have been more careful and not really violate that avera. So the Rambam seems to be saying that an avera but onus is not considered a Maisa Aveira. That seems to be what the Rambam is saying. The problem is that on Yom HaKippurim, right, we say a whole litany of Al-Chetz. So Al-Chetz Shachatan L'Fanecha, but Ones Uberatan. Right, we say Ones as part of the Al-Chetz. Like, if the Rambam is teaching me that Ones is not a Maisa Aveira, and by the way, that's an issue in the Tshuvas Reb Kiva Eger Simen Ches, whether a Maisa Aveira that's done the Ones by Misasek, is it like a Maisa Aveira and just a Ptur Onesh, or is it not a Maisa Aveira at all? Right? That's Machlokes Reb Kiva Eger and the Nesivos. The Rambam seems to be saying that you don't need Tshuva if you do an Aveira by Ones, yet on Yom HaKippurim we say the Ones Uberatum. So there's a number of ways of dealing with this. It could be that there's a machlokes, right? Like Reb Kiva Eger is arguing with the Nesivos, but that's what we would call corny. To say that the same machlokes Reb Kiva Eger and Nesivos is a machlokes between the Nusach HaTfilah and the Rambam, it's too corny, or it's too, maybe what I would say is like high school level lumdus or something. It's not like rigorous. It could be. It could be, though, that when the Rambam is telling me that an Aveira doesn't need Tshuva, Bahimas, and yet in Yom HaKippurim we say you do need Tshuva, the idea might be that the Rambam is beginning with us Tshuva, and he's not really talking about Yom HaKippurim yet. In Halacha Beis, he's going to start talking about Yom HaKippurim. He'll get back to Yom HaKippurim in Perek Beis again. In Perek Beis on Halacha Zayin, there's a mitzvah of tshuva all year long. All year long, the mitzvah of tshuva does not apply to Oinus. But in Yom HaKippurim, we say, Achei Chachaton L'Chanacha Ba'Onus U'Baratzim. Again, this is my own idea, but it's based on the Rav. One of the essays in Al HaTshuva that the Rav has is that there's a difference between Kapara and Tahara. No? Kapara means tshuva that happens to get rid of a chait. That's kapara. Tahara means one of two things. Tahara could mean tshuva in the absence of chait, or tahara could mean even in the presence of chait, but the tshuva doesn't just erase it. The tshuva mamish purifies. Like if I have a piece of paper, like we used to have pencils and erasers. So if you write on a piece of paper and then you erase it, the paper is going to have like a grayish color. It's not going to be perfectly white again, no? I'd say that's called kapara. That's wiping it away. I wipe away the stain, Rishumoniker. You could still notice that it was there. But Tahara is something very different. Tahara is something that happens and it's Ki'ilu v'chait was never existent. Yom HaKippurim, Tahara also involves purifying the personality. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this in Al HaTshuva. It's not just getting rid of the chait, it's getting rid of all of the personality traits that led to that chait. Right? The Rambam speaks about in Parak Zayin, how there's not only tshuva from Averis, there's tshuva from like Midos Ra'os, so to speak. That's all Yom HaKippurim did. That's all Tahara. Lefnei Hashem Titaru is the mitzvah of Yom HaKippurim. So I would argue, I said this in the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha number of years ago, I would argue that maybe on Yom HaKippurim I say, because in Yom HaKippurim I have a mitzvah of Tahara. And part of my mitzvah in Tahara is to purify myself in Gansen, Mikol V'Kol. So even something that's not a full-fledged Aveira, but you can't say it doesn't taint your soul. Right? Just like there's a musag in halacha of timtum alev, like we're learning Yerideya. So timtum alev is, it's quoted in Yerideya, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to nurse from an Egyptian woman. Peshas in the Davarim Hashlina. That's quoting every day that you shouldn't feed straight food even to a little baby, if at all possible. If the kid's mom is sick and there's no alternative. If at all possible, if you don't feed, well, there's no favor there. But the teretz is that there's an element of chait in the sense of tainting the soul, even though it's not a maisa aveira. And one could argue that in Yom HaKippurim, when they say, that's true even in Rambam world, that he mentions shogig and mezid as required as tshuva, not oneness, because the Rambam Parak Aleph and Tshuva Alocha Aleph is speaking about the tshuva all year long. He has not yet gotten to Yom HaKippurim. That's the next point I wanted to make. Again, I'm going to be making a bunch of points. All of them, not all of them, many of them are based on Yesodos of the Rav, but I think I'm saying some new ideas as well. The Rambam writes, all mitzvahs in the Torah, when you do tshuva, chayev lehisvados, lefnei hakel barachu, vive has to be in the presence of God. Chayev lehisvados lefnei hakel. The nusach of the vidui that we say is katanu lefanecha. Okay, we have Salvechik in the Al HaTshuva. I can tell you the page if I look it up. But the Rav in Al HaTshuva says that there's a difference between saying chatasi lecha and chatasi lefanecha. Lefanecha means I am in your presence. Very often we don't realize, like, we're in the Ribono Shel'olam's presence. Chatasi lefanecha. Eibishter, I was in front of you. You were here, next to me. And I still sinned. Probably I sinned because I wasn't acutely aware of your presence. Right? So, chatasi lefanecha. The vidui has to be lefnei hakel baruch hu. One of the explanations is that the vidui is happening because the chait was lefnei hakel. Rav Salvechik has this pshat in the Al HaTshuva. I happen to not be crazy about this pshat because it sounds like the vidui has to be before Hashem, not that the chait is before Hashem. There are, that's by the way in Al HaTshuva, page 50 to 52. The other perushim that the Rav suggests of chatasi, of vidui being lefnei hakel, is that vidui is something that I'm doing just because God said so. Now, a person can do averis, and averis could hurt the person. Could hurt the person professionally. Could hurt the person personally. It could hurt the person in many ways. And the person could feel like he or she has to do tshuva because the averis hurt me in life. But that's not really the mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva is lefnei hakel baruch hu. The mitzvah of tshuva isn't because, you know, I suffered. It hurt me. The mitzvah of tshuva is because I'm in the presence of God. Rav Salvechik has this idea as well. The Rav also has another idea that tshuva lefnei hakel baruch hu is found in the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. The Rambam says, in the context of what the Rambam calls tshuva gemura, which I hope we'll discuss tomorrow, Yetz Hashem. The Rambam writes, Yod olav yodea talumel shalom yoshem lozeh hachet ba'olam. Right? So I have to do vidui in the presence of Hashem, because real tshuva is Yod olav yodea talumel, that the Ribono Shel Olam will testify that you're not going to return to that fate. So that is the vidui being in the presence of Hashem. It's as if I'm drawing the Ribono Shel Olam in and saying, okay, God, testify, then I can do it again. That's a pshat. I happen to have a different pshat, which I said in a tshuva drasha I gave here in Yeshiva a number of years ago. I think the pshat says, there's another time that the Rambam as this expression of Lefnei Hashem. You know, Reb Chaim in the Sefer, in Hilchos Tefillah, points out a contradiction in the Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam writes that Kavana in Tefillah is only Ma'akev in the Bracha of the first Bracha, so Shemayin Esrei. On the other hand, the Rambam in Parak Yud sounds like Kavana is Ma'akev in the entire Tefillah. So Reb Chaim famously suggests, this actually is a Reb Chaim that the Chazanish disagreed with. And if you look in Benny Brown's book on the Chazanish, he uses this as like a paradigmatic machlokas between Reb Chaim and the Chazanish in terms of Darach HaLimud, etc. But the Rav developed an idea. The Reb Chaim developed an idea, which the Rav amplifies. The idea is that the kavana in tefillah, which is ma'akev an entire davening, is the recognition that when I daven, I'm standing in the presence of God. There's kavana of perish hamilah. There's kavana that I know what the words mean. It's important, but that kavana is only at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. But the kavana that I'm standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, that kavana is throughout the entire Shemoneh Esrei. If I just say the words, Kimitzis Anoshim Lumada, I just say the words because, it's a terrible thing, by the way, they teach kids how to read by teaching davening. No, it's like a terrible thing because that means I get into davening as a reading practice. And I don't recognize the fact that davening is, I'm standing in front of God, and I'm asking for what I need in the way Rav Soloveitchik understood it, the way the Nefesh HaChayim understands tefillah. I'm asking for these global ideas. But the point is, tefillah means I'm standing in front of Hashem. The Rambam has that same words that he has in the tefillah, that you're being oimed lifnei hakel baruch hu. Same words. Hilchos Teshuva also, right? Vida is lefnei hakel baruch hu. There is a parallel, or many parallels, between tshuva and tefillah. Right? It's funny. Aseres Yemei Tshuva, right? What do we do during Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Merdaven, umindaven, nochamol, unochamol, unochamol. Right? What's Aseres Yemei Tshuva about? It's about davening again and again. No. You would think if I have an Aseres Yemei Tshuva face, maybe we should go on a relief mission to El Salvador and be involved in chesed. I'm serious, right? Hey, do we do enough chesed during the year? Right? How come Aseres Yemei Tshuva is all about davening? Right? What we do is we daven longer. We say slichas, we say avinu malkeinu, right? Davening changes. The answer is that davening is the paradigm of tshuva. Davening is, I'm standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. Tshuva means I'm in front of the Ribono Shel Olam and I wasn't aware of that all the time. And that's why chatanu lifanecha, when we were in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we sinned. We didn't recognize that we're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So tefillah is a hechatimtza to arrive at the real tshuva, which is the tshuva of being in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. I think this is an important yesod. It's important for a few reasons. You know, this week's parasha is Parashas Netzavim, right? And in Parashas Netzavim, the Torah says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos shanochi mitzav ha-yom, etc. So the Ramban understands that the mitzvah refers to the mitzvah of tshuva. They pass the tzavim as a mitzvah of tshuva. But there's no reference to chet. It's a little bit strange, no? There's tshuva without an avera. What type of tshuva is that? Tshuva without a chet. Right? For the Rambam, tshuva seems to be connected to chataya. Right? The Rambam learns tshuva. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has an essay about this, a few essays about this. One is called The Tshuva of Norm, and the other is called The Tshuva of Crisis. is also true in the sense of repenting and returning. The Rambam seems to use tshuva as repenting. The source for tshuva, according to the Rambam, is when a person brings karbanis, or the source of vidui for the Rambam. So you bring karbanis, you have to do vidui. That's repenting. I did a sin, rectify it. The Ramban says, though, that the mitzvah of tshuva is coming from Parashas Nitzavim, where there is no chait that's mentioned. That means that tshuva is tshuva to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That I, even if I did no averes, but am I close enough to God? Even if I did no averes, right, you think me and the Ribbono Shel Olam are in the same place? We're not there. So tshuva is about connecting to Hashem again. And even for the Rambam, by the way, I could argue that the Rambam's tshuva as repentance also leads to tshuva of return. Because the Navi says that our sins separated us from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? When we do averes, we're building a wall. So the reason why, remember Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall? The reason why, right, we have to, you guys, I don't remember that. Gorbachev died already, that's how you don't know. But the reason why the tshuva is getting rid of averes, is the first step in the process. But the real goal is to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The real goal is to return, not to repent. So what I would argue is that the reason why we daven so much during Aseret Yemei Tshuva is because davening is an element of being in the presence of Hashem, and tshuva is about being close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So my vidui that I do is I am misvada lefnei hakel baruchu, right? Because I'm like saying, okay, God, like testify, yoid olav yodei atlumos, God, you're here, right? You're not far away. I recognize that you're here. I articulate that. And that's going to take these chatoyim that I have, which separate me from God. And, you know, sometimes when you just acknowledge something, you just articulate something, it makes it go away, right? When there are philosophical problems or theological problems or people have questions, very often the appropriate response is just acknowledging it, right? And that itself, you feel validated. And maybe that's the idea. I'm misvada. Okay, gotcha. And that breaks down that barrier. I'm not saying that to get rid of the averes. I'm just saying that the barrier between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam can be broken down al yedei the vidui, and that leads to tshuva as return rather than just tshuva of repentance. That's another point I wanted to make. So we spoke about the mitzvah of tshuva as opposed to the natural element of tshuva. We spoke about tshuva on ones, right, which touches upon the difference between tshuva on Yom HaKippurim and tshuva other times. We also are talking about this statement in the Rambam of Chayev Lehisvados Lefnei HaKeal Baruch Hu. That's the yesod of the Rambam. The Rambam over here has a comment, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Ketzan Misvada. As we pointed out, there are rules and regulations. You can't just do it any way you want. Ketzan Misvada, Omer, On Hashem Chotosi Avisi Pashati Lofanecha, Basisi Kach Vekach, Bari Nichamti Uboshti B'maasai Ula Olam, Eini Chozer L'davar Zeh, Zehu Ikaro Shavidoi. The vidui involves hakaras hachet, asisi kach v'kach. The vidui involves a sense of charata, nichamti uboshti b'masai. By charata, I regret that I did it, embarrassed that I did it, Right? Like we say in the Tefillah Zaka that B'chaya Adam put together, Tumeyim Anu Al Nafshei Seinu, Eich Nesa Atolei Bahazos. Like, how did this happen to me? That didn't happen, right? I'm embarrassed. Right? Nichamtu Boshti, right? There's Hakar Sachet, there's Karata, and then there's Kabbalah Al Ha'asad. And the Kabbalah Al-Asad is, I'm saying, I'm never going to do it again. But state in Rambam that all three of these components have to be part of the vidui. Keita misvada. I need part of the vidui is hakara sachet, charata, and kabbalah asid. That's part of the vidui. Azoi state in Rambam. Okay? It's interesting. It's interesting also because in Perek Beis, halachas, the Rambam writes, "Havidui shenahagu bo kol Yisrael is aval chatanu." The vidui is aval chatanu that we sinned. Again, what does aval mean? So aval, Targum Unklus writes on pasuk aval ashenim anachnu that aval means bekushta, true. Dr. Lamb in one of his drushes, which I actually like very much, says aval chatanu. The aval means that we said but. Yeah, I did say but, right? Excuse. Yeah, it's wrong. But, das alein is an aveira. Aval chatanu. That's a nice drasha, by the way. It's good for rabbis. But then the Rambam though says that vidui is aval chatanu. It just says chatanu. The Rambam does not say in Perek Beis Halacha Ches chatasi avisi pashaiti. Right? He just says chatanu. The Rambam does not in Perek Ches recognize the specific aviva that you did. You don't have to articulate that. And the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Ches does not include as part of the vidui the Kabbalah al Ha'asid. So in the Sefer Avodas HaMelech of Rabbi Nachum Krakovsky, he was the Rav's uncle. Avodas HaMelech already raised these questions as a contradiction. How come, though for our purposes, how come Kabbalah Asid is not found in Perek Beis, where the Rambam talks about Havidui Shenahagubo Ko Yisrael? If it's an essential component of Vidui, it should be in Perek Beis as well. That's the Avodas HaMelech's kasha. The etzem, it's not much of a kasha, or we could deflect the kasha, because if you read the way we have the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Ches, it says, Aval Chatanu Vigomer. So that word Vigomer could mean a lot, right? It could mean Chatanu and Avinu and Pashanu. He's maybe adding that. Could be Vigomer also means that Nichamti Uboishti Vecharota, and it could be Vigomer also means the Kabbalah Aser. But that would be putting a lot into the word Vigomer, no? That would be like saying that little guy, Vigomer, means like three paragraphs. Possible, but not the most reasonable and likely interpretation of the Rambam. I thought the Pshat in the Rambam says like, and Rav Salvechik in the Ahatshuva, page 70 and following, has an essay about the tshuva of the Yochid versus the tshuva of the Rabbin. The Tshuvas HaYochid versus Tshuvas HaTzibor. Right? The Rambam, the Rav explains that Tzibor is like a metaphysical entity. It's not just a conglomerate of Yechidim. That would be a carbon Shutfim. By a Mincha, there's no such thing as a carbon Mincha of Shutfim. But right? That's the last mention of an office. But there is a Mincha HaTzibor that comes whenever you bring the carbonus of, let's say, the Mo'adim. So you also have a carbon mincha that goes with it, no? By the Tamid, you have the carbon mincha. Tamid Shor Shachar has mincha. Tamid Shor Bein Habayim has mincha. Think about why we call the afternoon tefillah mincha when there's mincha by Shachar. It's also something to think about. But there's a mincha of a tzibur, but there's no mincha of shutfim. Tzibur is different than Shulchan. The Rav explained in the Al HaTshuva that there are many differences between the tshuva of the individual and the tshuva of the tzibur. Right? On Yom HaKippurim, the bracha at the end of the tefillah is Melech Mochel V'Soleach L'Avonosin V'Avonos Amo Beis Yisrael U'Mahavir Ashmosin U'Mokol Shana V'Shana, and then you start to say Melech HaKol HaRetz. Right? But it's a little bit funny because it's your composition teacher who get at you. You say Melech Mochel V'Soleach L'Avonosin V'Avonos Amo Beis Yisrael U'Mahavir Ashmosin U'Mokol Shana V'Shana. We don't say Ashmos Kol Beis Yisrael. So the Rebbe Nachum explained that, based on the Ramban, that the word Ashamnu, Ashma, means the type of Avera for which there should be Shmama, for which we should be totally, completely destroyed. We could speak about Ashma Yisrael. A Yochid could do the type of Avera for which that Yochid deserves Shmama, destruction, knocked out, kilayon, gone. The tzibur can't do such an avera. There's no such thing as the tzibur doing an avera that the tzibur gets destroyed from. So it's only mavir ashmoseinu b'chol shana b'shana. Because there's a difference between a yachid and a tzibur. That's what the Rav says. The Rav also commented, again, I'm not sure. Again, I think this might be me, not the Rav. But the difference between Chotanu Avinu Pashanu and just Chotanu. In Perek Aleph, the Nusach HaRambam Zavidai is, right, Chotasi Avisi Pashaiti. But in Perek Beis, it says the Vidur Shenagu Olkot Yisrael is Aval Chatan, just fate. So what's the pshat? So it could be the Ibn Ezra writes that the word chet is a klal and applies to all forms of Avemus. Maybe. Okay. And it could be. But strange, the Rambam Perek Aleph has Chatanu Avinu Pashaiti. Why in Perek Beis does he not have it? So it could be that the pshat is similar to this idea of there's no ashma for the tzibur can't be destroyed. We begin davening a Yom HaKippurim. V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael v'lager hagar b'socham ki l'cholam b'shgaga. What the heck? Ki l'cholam b'shgaga. It's not true. Right? Everyone who did an avera did b'shaigin. The answer might be that no, there's no such thing as an avera b'mezid for the tzibur. Ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga. Right? When I talk about a tzibur, it's got to be b'shgaga. And maybe that's why, right, there's no ashmos beis Yisrael. You can't be destroyed because it's always b'shaigin. Chait means b'shogeg. Avayin, b'mezid. Pesha, mered. Right? So by the Perek Beis, where the Rambam is talking about the tshuva of a tzibur, havidu shenahagu bo kol Yisrael, that means l'cha'ayra, the vidui of the tzibur, all of Chrysler does the same thing, right? The Rav spoke about how on Yom HaKippurim we say two different viduis. In our private shmoneh, we say vidui after davening. In the Chazan's repetition, we say vidui during the davening. Right? There's vidui of the klal and there's vidui of the yachid. It could be that for vidui of the sibur, you only have to say chatanu, because avinu and pashanu is not shayach in the context of a chait of the sibur. Maybe that's the pshat as well. So I would argue that when the Rambam says in Perek Aleph that part of the vidui is eini shofel davar zeh, that part of the nusach havidui is the kabbalah la'asid. And in Perek Beis, the Rambam doesn't say that. So I saw in the Sefer Yab Shuta, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, a friend of Racha. Actually, he's a friend of my father's. They grew up together in Montreal. So Rav Nachum Rabinowitz in the Yab Shuta on this din, he is bothered by this kasha, and he says, you know what, when the Rambam Parak Beis doesn't have Kabbalah La'asid as part of the Vidui, that's because you can't be Dover Shkarim of Nei Hashem. You can't lie to God. You're going to say, Amy plays with Dover Zach. Maybe about myself, I can say that. Maybe. I'm going to say about him. The guy said next to me, you know, plays with Dover Zach. Right? Her. You can't do that. No. I think the Pshat is different. That by the Avera of a Yochid, I have a different requirement as the Vidui. The Vidui over there is a way of articulating my sin to achieve a kapara. Part of that involves the recognition I'm never going to do it again. The Avera of the Tzibor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Tzibor, you're going to get kapara, providing you do this thing, you just articulate it. So I articulate my sin. I don't have to say I'm never going to do it again. God's going to accept me, even if I don't make that statement that I'm never going to redo it. Again, I think this is possible. Next point, again, to deal with this contradiction. In Perek Aleph, the Rambam has one text of Vidui. In Perek Beis, he just says that the Vidui is Aval Chatan. He doesn't have everything else. So the next point is that the Vidui, we say in Perek Aleph, Ketza Misvada, Omer Ona Hashem, Chatasi. Right? I begin by saying, please God. Right? That's Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Perek Beis, you don't have the Nusach of please. You don't have the Nusach of Ona. The Gemara Yuma, Binayin Sheba Ona. Right? That Vidui has to have Ona. How come it's not in Perek Beis? Also, like, what the heck does Ona mean? Right? God, please, I sinned. Right? That sentence doesn't mean anything. Right? What do you mean that you need Ona? So if you look in the Al HaTshuva, pages 46, etc. So the Rav in Al HaTshuva explains that Ona is the introduction to my Vidui. Ona, please let me in. Please allow me to confess. I don't even deserve to be able to do this. Please, please don't lock the door. Those are the words the Rav uses. Ona. There is a difference between the Yochid and the Tzibur. By the Yochid, I have to plead with the Ribbono Shel Olam, please let me do it. I'm standing, as it were, ka'ani ba'pesach. Right? The poor person never knows if the usher is going to open the door and let him in. But the Tzibur has a right to demand mechila slicha and kapara. The Tzibur, right? We're going to ask for it. Rav has this idea in the essay about the difference between Yochanan and Tzibur. The Rav does not say this idea about the Ona, but Nirlochian is Daiti, that the absence of the word Ona in Perek Beis is because the Tzibur doesn't have to say please. Demand it. God, I'm doing Vidui, forgive me. Right? I'm not like Ka'ani Pesach, knocking on the door, please open it. Like, I break that door open. Right? It's a totally different type of Vidui for the Tzibur and for the Yochid. It seems to me, again, the Rav does not have this shot, and actually in Yeshiva, we're makrid that by all of the Viduyim on Yom HaKippurim, we say the word, the Chazan uses the term Ona. In the Rav Soloveitchik Matzah, you always see the word Ona in parentheses. Every Vidu is Ona. Nirofin Yistati, I wanted to ask for Shat this morning. Nirofin Yistati, that's not necessary, that maybe the Vidu of a Tzibur, right? You don't need an Ona. Right? You don't need please. Like, God, you promise it's going to happen, dude. Like, I don't need an Ona. So that's another pshat. It's another pshat over here. You know, vidui is necessary for tshuva. It's not just enough to think. You have to articulate it. Why? What's gained by saying it that is not accomplished just by thinking? So I saw Rav Mordechai Gifter as a Sefer HaRechuva. Rav Gifter was a Talmud in our yeshiva, we just have to say it like that. So Rav Gifter in the Sefer HaRechuva points out that there are two advantages to articulating the vidui rather than just thinking. Very often, when I just think, my thoughts are not complete. Like, it's almost like the Zohar has an expression, liba lepuma lo galia. Like, the Ribbono Shel Olam has in mind to redeem us, but the Ribbono Shel Olam hasn't said it yet. And when you say it, that makes it more official. So it firms the resolve. That's the pshat in the vidui. Another pshat in the vidui could be that the vidui, in the sense of articulating it, makes me feel worse. Even if I'm saying it in an undertone, but the very fact that I'm articulating it leads to a degree of shivron lev. I could be thinking about the worst avaros that I did, but I don't feel as bad as when I articulate it. So the two perushim that Rav Gifter has about why I need to articulate the vidui, either because it firms my resolve or it makes me feel worse. The nafkamina might be whether you can be yotzi vidui with shomea kaone. That's already for the lamdan. And Rabbi Ganek, in his third volume, has an essay about whether you can be yotzi vidui with shomea kaone. If the pshat is that it makes me feel bad, so shomea kaone doesn't tell. But the pshat is that it firms up my resolve. So the fact that you're saying it and I'm listening, and it's, if I say amen, certainly that firms up my resolve as well. You could say this again, it's not necessarily absolute, but it could be that snapshot. So vidui involves that I have to articulate. I have to articulate what I did. It's not only sufficient to think. That could be the reason why you need vidui devarim, but you have to articulate it. When the Rambam goes on, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah that when you do tshuva, you do vidui, and for the Rambam, like we noted, the tshuva / vidui is coming because they did an avera. And the Rambam gives us part of the vidui, the text of the vidui has to be ona Hashem, chatos, visi poshaiti, I'll never return to it. Then the Rambam writes, bala chatos, Hashem is bring the korban is not mechaper until you do vidui devarim. Yechayiv misas bezdin, or you get malchus, you need vidui devarim. If I injure my friend, even though I paid up everything, there's no kapara until you do vidui. And the vidui, l'cha'ora, is that I do vidui to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I say that this avera ben adam chavera that I did, I also have to say it ben adam la'makom. That could be the pshat in the Rambam. However, many of the mefarshim over here point out that the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, has the vidui by an avera ben adam lachavero as the bakashas mechila. And when I go to you and I say, hey, I hurt you, right, that's a vidui. What that means, going back to the previous conversation, is that by avera ben adam lamakom, it's chayelis vados ofnei hakel barachu. So the vidui is the bakashas mechila. And the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Mitzvah Ayin Gimel really sounds that way. Of course, this idea that the Rambam says that there is vijay on the Bein Adam Lachaveiros also. This idea has many implications. The Rambam in Hochos Genevo Gezeva says the same idea, that when I steal from you, I return the thing, I have to ask Mechila. But the Rambam also has a Hilvas Tshuva. But in Hilvas Tshuva, the Rambam has a Lashon of Eino Miskaper Lo, that the Kapara doesn't work without it. You get an impression in Hilvas Genevo Gezeva, there's some element of the Kapara, just not complete Kapara. Over here, you get the impression that there's no kapara at all. The idea might be, like what we mentioned earlier, the difference between kapara and tahara. Tahara is a much higher bar. On Yom HaKippurim, perhaps, again, I'm not sure this Rambam is talking about Yom HaKippurim. In fact, what we said before is that Parak Aleph Aleph is not about Yom HaKippurim. But the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, where he's leading up to Yom HaKippurim, he says that Eino Miskaper Loi, it could be that you don't get any kapara, even on your Bein Adam Lamakons, unless you atone for your Bein Adam Chaveros. In the parish of the Rif on the Ein Yankiv, the Rif on the Ein Yankiv is not the Rif. In the parish of the Rif on the Ein Yankiv, he develops this idea that by Yom HaKippurim, because this element of Tahara that we noted earlier, so long as I have an Avera Bein Adam Lachavero that is present, God does not even atone for my Averis Bein Adam Lamako. And maybe the pshat in the Rambam is Enoi Miskaper Loi. Even though you pay up, unless you ask for Mechila, there is zero Kapara. Zero Kapara. That's already a frightening idea. No? I'm a frightening. If I don't make good on my Bein Adam Chaveros, even my Bein Adam Makons are not going to be forgiven. So again, these are some of the points I wanted to make. All we basically did was the first Rambam, Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph. There's more to say. And Amir Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue at 10:45.